KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. A Kiana man is considered armed and dangerous. Alaska State Troopers say arrest warrants have been issued for 45-year-old Teddy Smith following the death of 70-year-old Dolly Smith, also from Kiana. Teddy Smith is charged with assault in the third degree and misconduct involving weapons in the fourth degree. The Alaska State Troopers investigation revealed that Teddy Smith had been drinking and had shot a gun in the direction of a crowd of people. He left the area and has not been seen since. Again, troopers say Teddy Smith should be considered armed and dangerous. If you have any information on Smith's whereabouts, call the Alaska State Troopers in Kotzebue at 442-3222. Troopers say they have no information that the community of Kiana or surrounding villages and residents are in danger. No threats have been received. Troopers initially asked that residents in Kiana stay indoors during the first day of searching for Teddy Smith last week. Troopers are currently in Kiana investigating the death of Dolly Smith. Her body has been sent to Anchorage for an autopsy. When the Noble Discoverer drill rig cut into the Chukchi seafloor Sunday morning, it was the first time in more than two decades that an oil company had drilled in the U.S. Arctic. However, KUCB's Stephanie Joyce reports that Shell has paused its drilling operation in the Arctic just a day after starting. The Noble Discoverer drill rig cut into the Chukchi seafloor Sunday morning but had to disconnect from the well site Sunday evening to get out of the way of a massive island of sea ice bearing down on the area. Shell spokesperson Curtis Smith.
It's about 30 miles long. It's about 12 miles wide. And it's moving about 0.3 to 0.5 knots. It's, it varies in thickness, of course, but in its thickest area, we estimate it to be around 25 meters thick. So that's pretty substantial.
Operations could be shut down for several days while the ice moves past the drill site. Smith emphasized that this is just part of working in the Arctic.
When we worked in the Chukchi Sea and the Beaufort in the 1980s and 1990s, this happened then, so it's not unusual. I think the key there, of course, is just having a heads-up approach and making sure that you see what's coming.
This incident is just the latest in a series of snafus for the oil giant. Sea ice postponed the start of the drilling season. Then the Noble Discoverer ran adrift during a storm in Unalaska. Most recently, permitting problems kept Shell Oil's spill containment barge tied up at the dock in Washington State. Shell received permission to start drilling without the barge on site. Once the ice has moved on, the Noble Discoverer will reconnect to anchors and resume their exploratory drilling. A Nome police officer and a community service officer were sworn in at last night's Nome Common Council meeting. Carrie Barajas joins the force along with CSO Joseph Grubb. While one more officer will report to duty soon, the department will still be down one officer. Chief John Papasidora says he's been actively recruiting ever since taking the post a few years ago. He says there have been only 2 days in 2 years that every position in the department was filled. The sales tax ordinance amendments will go through second reading and final passage at the next meeting on September 24th. Last night, the council came to understand that to take a vote on the ordinance, more information on charitable gaming is needed. Earlier this year, some members from the gaming community asked the council to lower the percentage taxed on charitable gaming. The council wanted more information on the tax structure and income derived from charitable gaming, like Rippies. Finance Director Cussie Cower reported that many organizations that have permits for Rippies do not have their reports on file with the finance department. Without those reports, the council is finding it hard to make any decisions on the ordinance regarding the sales tax. They've instructed Finance Director Cussie Cower to go ahead and get copies of the reports from the state of Alaska. In other business, utility manager John Handeland gave his report to the council. He said they're focusing intently on finishing up the water and sewer work on the east end of town. He says they're working hard to be sure the project is complete before freeze-up. He also said some residents are having electrical issues.
We want to alert people that say that you turn on your microwave or your television and all of a sudden your lights dim. That isn't right. And we have had several reports recently from folks that have had that problem, have had a couple of other customers who have reported that, you know, their microwave caught on fire. That's not normal either. And that, you know, some of their appliances have been burning up.
Handelin says it can be related to loose connections up at the poles, but it can also be corrosion within the meter, which causes too much voltage.
And when the neutral corrodes, as it can, just over time from salt air or from loose connections, that could be a serious problem. And if you are experiencing something like that, it would be appropriate for you to let us know as soon as possible so that we can ensure it isn't something on the system side of it, and then potentially direct you to an electrician that can fix that issue for you.
Handelin says the utility is not responsible for meter bases. Again, if you are experiencing any electrical issues, call the Nome Joint Utility. Corrosion in the meter base was found to be the cause of one fire that was contained earlier this fall. Finally, Mike Benchoff again addressed the council. While he has met two of the requirements needed to continue using the harbor and port facilities, he has yet to acquire liability insurance on his suction dredge, the Rustler. He has until September 15th to acquire insurance. After that date, he will be banned from the port facilities. And you've seen it on the beaches. You may have used it to heat your home. And maybe you've even found some unique uses for it in your community. Driftwood, it's a naturally occurring and renewable resource in Western Alaska. And for the most part, almost all the wood on the beaches of our region comes from forests in the interior of Alaska. Dr. Claire Alix is an archaeologist with the University of Alaska Fairbanks who studies the use of wood in the Arctic.
The Yukon River is the main contributor of driftwood to the coast. The Kuskokwim River also is a contributor of wood, you know, in Western Alaska, but much less than the Yukon.
That regular process of driftwood coming down the rivers and to the coast has continued for thousands of years and shaped the lives of those living in Western Alaska for millennia.
What we see in the archaeological record, and that you can find in the Nupiaq language, actually, is this very precise understanding of the wood quality, you know, that has been there for centuries.
To hear more about driftwood, how it gets to Western Alaska, and how it's used, listen to Profiles after this newscast and the weather, and also the 6 p.m. weather. Governor Sean Parnell has issued an order that state and federal flags at public facilities be lowered to half-staff for Patriot Day today in tribute to those who lost their lives in the September 11, 2001 attacks. Parnell's office says flags will remain at half-staff until sunset. And the price of gold in New York is up $6.40 an ounce to $1,732.20. An ounce of silver is up 19 cents to $33.63, and a pound of zinc at 89 cents. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is expected to arrive in Nome at 9:41 and depart to Anchorage later this morning at 10:26. It's unofficially 38 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.